Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, February 23rd. It's a day after the Oscars. And if you care, we're going to talk about it for a few minutes. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Sam.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. We had rain yesterday.
We did.
The Oscars was was rained out.
But I think it's rained every year on the Oscars.
I know, huh?
Yeah.
And it never rains here.
No, but
and
just the fanciest weekend.
That Sunday, it always rains.
Yeah. I actually moved to LA 8 years ago this weekend, this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you celebrate it with drinking?
I drank a lot, but it was unrelated.
Yeah.
That was just coincidental or okay. Just usual.
I thought you integrated into Two Drunk Girls or something.
We didn't. In fact, I kind of forgot that it was even the case until last night. But then last night I celebrated my uncle's 5th year of being cancer-free. So I didn't want to steal his thunder announcing
congratulations.
To everyone.
That's nice of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I think that was more important. So.
Yeah. I know. It was funny, though, because Saturday night, I looked at my phone and I looked at the weather and it says at 3 o'clock a.m. it's going to start raining and then every hour it's going to get like rainier. So, needless to say, I mean, I was looking at it at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I went to sleep late. I woke up around 11:30 and it was like totally sunny outside. And I'm going, what the hell? You know, where's the rain? So then I talked to a friend and they said, oh, it rained already. I said, great, because I saw the streets a little wet. But I thought, I missed out on the whole rain. You know, what is this? And the weather's always wrong. So, 2 hours later, it started pouring and then it never stopped.
Yeah.
So I was okay with that. It's just that those forecasts are so inaccurate,
Yeah.
I can't count on them, especially the ones on the iPhone. I don't know who writes those, but they're totally incorrect.
I use the Weather Channel app just because it came on the phone. So.
Oh, really?
That's what
I use.
Is
it pretty accurate?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, it's getting cloudy again. Maybe it'll rain again.
Maybe for you.
Yeah.
Just for you. Also, want to hear a fun fact?
Yes.
My middle name is Rainey.
Really?
R-A-I-N-E-E.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell it again?
R-A-I-N-E-E.
Oh, wow. Rainey.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that all these times you talk about the rain.
I know. So that's your middle name?
Yep.
And where did that come from?
Well, I guess this is the story. I think that it's been abridged over the years. But my grandfather on my father's side was Ray, and he died before I was born. So they wanted to name one of my names after him. Instead of going with like Rachel or... Oh. Renee or something normal, they picked Rainey because it was after tennis player Rainey Fox.
Okay.
It was also raining the day I was born.
Really?
This is the story I got over the years. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's a cool middle name.
Yeah, Jennifer Rainey Golden.
There you go. You see, so maybe you need to love rain. But because you take it too personally, it's like it comes down to your hair and all that stuff. Just enjoy it. It's so romantic.
Well, I don't mind the rain at all.
Okay, good.
But I don't necessarily want to go out in it if I have to be somewhere and look a certain way.
Right.
It's kind of inconvenient.
Right.
Other than that, I'm not that person that also needs an umbrella if it's raining.
Right.
I'm like, just brave it.
I
Who
know.
Cares if you're wet? It's water.
I know.
So, and my car gets washed. It's good.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, we went to... the strong rain reminds me. We went by Krispy Kreme Donuts in Burbank. And, there's always like a line and everything going on. But you figure, I'm going to wait 10 minutes. It'll be fine. You know what? You couldn't even get close to it. I mean, just the drive-through, they totally blocked the mall parking. I mean, you couldn't even get out of the mall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was so amazing. I've never seen it like this. And I thought, is this the rain? Is it bringing everybody out? What's going on?
Out to get donuts?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, I mean, it's like a craze. Those donuts, people are crazy about them. I mean, I get it. They're really good. They're fresh. They come out of the oven and you get them.
Yeah. I haven't had a Krispy Kreme donut and I can't tell you how long. But
really?
They are so good.
I know. And they don't have that many. I mean, in fact, they closed a few here in LA.
Yeah.
Because people don't eat fattening stuff here.
Right.
But at the same time, in Burbank, I mean, you get a lot of people there, and it was just unbelievable. So I thought, for two donuts, I'm not waiting all this time. Forget about it. It's like, it seems like everywhere I go now, there's like lines that don't move, you know? I mean, I can understand lines. I've gotten used to them over the holidays. I braved it, and I went to stores.
You did?
Yeah. And, you know, and I stood in the long lines, but they all moved fast, you know, because they're set up for the holidays.
Right.
So I started saying to myself, okay, you know what? You can't like bail every time there's a line, you know? You got to sometimes just stay and wait.
See, that is something you learn in yoga, patience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should give yoga a chance.
Maybe I should. Maybe I should give yoga a chance because, you see, I also come from a place where people are in a hurry all the time, you know?
Yeah.
In Israel, it's like that, you know? People don't relax at all.
Right.
So I'm like that, you know? And what can I do? I can't get it out of my system as long as I've lived here and stuff. But it's just, I think, a part of your temperament.
Right.
When you're born or something or when you grow up, I don't know. But, yeah, so lines like this, I mean, they just like, you know, and you feel helpless. You can't get out.
Right. You are, you know, stuck.
Yeah, it's like traffic jam.
Your sense of urgency has, you know, no stake in that game.
No.
They will go as slow as they want.
Yeah.
Well, they have to make the hot donuts. If they're not ready, then people just have to wait.
Right. No, I mean, and it's like on a conveyor belt. I mean, you can't get it any faster than that.
Right.
But the parking was what was horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, somebody wants to turn left into the drive-through, then everybody behind them that wants to exit the parking of the mall cannot do so. And I don't get people sometimes, you know. I mean, don't you, like, people are not aware of what's going on around them.
Right.
They're so self-focused, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right?
It's frustrating.
I mean, sometimes. And then I say to myself, why am I like this? Why do I care so much, you know? Sometimes people tell me, drive slower so we can see what's going on the street. I'm like, yeah, but there's cars behind me. I don't want to slow anybody down. So I'm always like under pressure like that. You know? I don't want to block the traffic. But people don't care.
Some people don't. That's why there are words like inconsiderate and selfish.
Yeah.
Got to describe them somehow.
True. Did you get your coffee this morning?
I did.
Good.
I needed more.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I just had a really busy weekend.
Yeah.
It was like action-packed. Very fun, but very busy. And I'm like exhausted today.
Really?
I could have used another day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you're pretty active on the weekends too.
Very.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Rather than sit back and relax?
Well, I relaxed a little bit, and the things I did were pretty relaxing. But
okay.
I went, like, for example, Saturday, I went to yoga at 9 a.m. Then I had brunch at 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had tea at 3. Then I had someone's couch at 5.
Oh, okay.
And then I had dinner at 8. So it was,
wow,
like, really relaxing activities, but I had to get to everywhere. And I had,
right,
to be on all day. I had to talk to all my friends, and, like,
right,
it was just, like, conversation after conversation. And I think by the time I had drank a lot, I was so drained. And we were up till 4 a.m. It was a really long day. And then yesterday I had to watch the Oscars.
Uh-huh.
That was a lot of TV for the day.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
How long was it? Like 3.5 hours or something?
No, well, you start with the red carpet.
Right, that's true.
And I was filming Two Drunk Girls before that, 2 episodes.
Okay.
We discussed Lent and what we gave up for Lent,
uh-huh,
and being friends with our ex-boyfriends.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, stay tuned for those episodes. Then we watched the red carpet from, I think it was like 3 until 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then the show was 5:30 to 8:30, or 8:30 or 9.
Right.
It's a really long day,
yeah,
of Oscars.
That's true, yeah. Did you at least enjoy it?
I enjoyed parts of it.
Parts of it.
It was really awkward.
Really?
Some parts. Really long other parts and jokes that just didn't hit.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The performances were the best. And I sort of called all the people that were going to win. I knew it.
Yeah.
I would say it, and my family was like, we were all watching together, and I'd be like, that's going to win. And they were like waiting,
really,
for it on pins and needles. They're like, is she right? Isn't she right? And I was right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because you've seen all the movies, right?
Yeah. And also the trends for like voting.
Right.
And like political things that were happening.
Right.
Also, if Julianne Moore is nominated, she's going to win.
Really?
I don't care
every
who she's
time?
Up against. She's always going to win.
Even with Meryl Streep there? Oh, Meryl Streep was best actress, right? Not supporting.
No.
She was supporting?
I think she was supporting.
Okay. All right. So she wasn't in the same category.
Yeah, but so...
Excuse me. So you're saying Julianne Moore wins every time?
Every time, because she is the new Meryl Streep.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So she wins. If she's nominated, wins. Patricia Arquette won for Boyhood, which she absolutely should have.
Right.
So I'm glad that they gave her that, because Boyhood did not win otherwise.
Right. It didn't. Neither did American Sniper.
No, well...
That was totally snubbed.
Well, okay. So I think that... Depending on who you're up against each year is what's going to your fate, you know, right. is handed to you. So Imitation Game.
Yeah.
Totally. There should have been more wins for it. But because they were up against, like, even The Theory of Everything was very comparable in terms of, like, British acting and portraying somebody from history that did something crazy and, you know, and had a story. And so... Unfortunately, ALS beat Gay this year, you know, like, and then there was like a whole ALS thing. And then there was Alzheimer's this year. There was, what else was there? I don't know, but it just was issue based.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Selma wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
Because that's that you, we've been dealing with that, you know, forever.
Right.
And it was a great portrayal of history, but it's not at the forefront of what's been going on. Like, we had the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge this year.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Yeah. I know. Well, you know, whatever. Oprah said we were not snubbed. So.
Because they weren't. But you know
yeah,
what?
They weren't.
This song was so incredible, and I'm so glad it won.
Really? Oh, so the song did win.
Yeah, and good. They did a performance of it, and they brought out the bridge, like a replica bridge, and had all these people walking out from it. And people in the audience were just sobbing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because the song is so moving, and like you can feel the energy from the song through the screen.
Wow.
Yeah, I just watched a clip of it. And I was like,
and who
so
sings
powerful.
It?
John Legend and Common.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that.
You should watch the footage from the show of the performance.
Okay.
Because it was so powerful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'll definitely catch up on that.
David Oyelowo, who played Martin Luther King, was tears sobbing. Everybody was.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Yeah, so all in all, I guess it was a good show. I didn't really watch it. I saw a couple of awards being given out, but that was about it. And yeah, I heard the jokes weren't that great. Somebody said that he's not coming back,
I think,
Neil Patrick.
No, he's more of like a Tony's, Emmy's kind of guy.
Yeah.
The Oscars, it just wasn't, he would make like kind of racy jokes.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, calling out the, like, that it was kind of like a racist. Everyone was saying that the voting was racist and that, you know,
right.
You know, black actors didn't get nominated and this, and then women didn't. So he made a joke at the top of it where it was like, this is the whitest award show, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
And he kind of lost the edge throughout the way. And it was part writing, part, you know, energy, I'm sure, in the audience. And he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, improvise at all. He
right.
wasn't off the cuff. He didn't
and
order
it's not
a pizza
funny
and take a
thing.
Selfie.
Yeah, and it's not a funny thing. I can't imagine who would feel that is a funny thing to say.
Well, what's funny is making fun of people and their issues. And so, like, or the ones that they said were issues. So calling out, you know, the fact that people were saying the Oscars were, like, the whitest award show is making fun of it. So it's
I
funny.
I know. But I don't think anybody would find it funny. I don't know. You know,
well, I mean,
the thing is, it's a very charged
viewing.
Thing, you know.
Right. But yeah. But the whole point is to make light of situations that are kind of absurd. So, like, when people are like, you didn't nominate any black people. Okay, and Selma was nominated.
Right.
You know, maybe just that wasn't the best performance this year.
Yeah.
It wasn't a race thing.
Right. And that's what people need to remember.
Right.
You know, it's not everything is about race.
Right. Well, I think, when if Ellen would have delivered the line, it would have stuck.
Yeah.
It would have been funny because she makes fun of things in a funny way. I think that he's maybe just a little not edgy.
Mm.
I don't know what the other word is for that, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to go over the winners because you guys already know all of them. We have a special guest waiting in the wings. We're going to bring her in right now. And if you guys like stuff about anything about connecting with the other sex, then I'm game. We have Kimberly Seltzer in the studio. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. And Kim and I met last weekend. Over at the Great Love Debate in Santa Monica.
Yes, we did.
And you were one of the organizers there. And so it was good. I mean, we hit it off right away. You're a very nice woman. Very
cool.
Thank you. Sure. And then you ended up being a judge on the stage. And they selected me as the bachelor.
Right, yes.
All right.
Yeah, you were the hot bachelor.
Well, I was grateful to you for that, for even noticing me.
Well, we have to talk about your confidence here, Sam.
Yeah. I know. Well, I think almost everybody's got confidence issues, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm self-conscious about my age, and I've said this before, you know. So that's why I'm like that, you know. But we'll talk about that. So, Kim, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
So I'm kind of like, did you guys see Hitch?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Hitch. So, then do you know the show What Not to Wear? That makeover show.
No.
Okay. So I'm kind of like Hitch meets What Not to Wear. That's the best way to describe me. I am a dating and makeover expert, and I draw upon my experience as a therapist to really do like an inside out approach in helping people, you know, look and feel their best so they attract what they want. And, I call myself a retired therapist, actually, because one of the things that I found is that I was kind of over the talking. I mean, we're talking, and talking's great, but I found that people would come to my office, and they would talk, and they'd talk, and talk, and talk, but very few people take action. And so that's what I like about the process that I do, is it's all about action, and that's where change happens, right?
Yeah.
So I will go to the bars and be the wing girl and watch you flirt and your body language and your first impressions and what you're wearing and how you're delivering. And I also, you know, help you with your dating image and confidence. And I think it's like what we were just saying just now. It all comes down to feeling good about yourself, because let's face it, people are attracted to people who like themselves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you obviously don't project something positive when you're like self-conscious about yourself and, you know, and you don't know what to do. You feel kind of lost and stuff. So,
yeah,
it happens to people. And I think especially after a long relationship, you know, where you haven't dated for a while and stuff, then you're coming back on the dating scene and things have changed and you're not sure if you're still attractive to other people and things like that, you know, because in relationships we kind of forget, you know. I think we become complacent and sort
of, oh my god,
like,
totally
right.
It's so weird that you said that, because I always say that people
really
kind of fall into this state of complacency and they kind of forget, you know, like who they were before their partner. And you were talking about getting back out there. I was like raising my hand because like, that was me. I mean, that's really why I got into doing what I do.
Wow.
Because I was that girl.
So you got divorced.
I got divorced.
How long ago?
So this was like 12 years ago. I'm a veteran now. So
I can
show you my war wounds, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I'd want to go out with you as a wing woman. I mean, you definitely
know
what's going on out there.
Oh, huh? I totally am in the know. Well, so my story is, I mean, that besides all my professional experience, and it's been amazing and helping all these people, but really the reason I'm so passionate is that I went through my own transformation.
Wow.
I mean, I was this like good girl from Chicago, you know, living what I thought was the Leave It to Beaver kind of, you know, I had a house, picket fence, two kids, a dog, husband.
Wow.
Then we moved to here in LA, and I always joke we did what all the other Californians do, we got a divorce. And so that, now, obviously there were issues, but there I was, and I was like, oh my God, a single mom with two young kids and having these like big oversized clothes with nursing bras and Birkenstocks, and I'm supposed to go flirt.
Right.
I'm supposed to attract a man.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. So
the divorce happened while your kids were very young.
Really young.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were still nursing?
I was still nursing.
So the problem started before, and then the kid came, and you guys decided that's it. Yeah.
Obviously. It was kind of the impetus, right? Like, there's usually something that happens that kind of.
Yeah, I mean, my first marriage also ended. My son was 6 months, and we separated finally, you know?
Oh.
And so, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You share my pain.
You know? I share your pain.
Oh my God, we should have coffee after that.
I know, and commiserate.
Commiserate. Misery loves company. No, but it is true. Dating after divorce is different than, like, Jen, how you're dating right now. Like, there's different issues that come up for different people. And I think that's really, really important. And not everybody really understands that. So, when you're with a partner for so long, your identity gets wrapped up into person, and you almost forget who you are. So the first thing that needs to happen is just getting back to you.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I forgot I like to surf. I forgot I like chocolate because my partner didn't like it, so I didn't eat it.
Right.
You know, and it's like little things like that. And it's your time to just enjoy yourself.
Right.
But too many people try to jump back into, you know, that Band-Aid relationship.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Right? Yeah.
They go on the rebound, they find somebody else, and the same patterns repeat themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. So you were at a time where it wasn't really conducive for you to date, but what did you do? I mean, did you have to wait a while? How did you deal with the divorce?
So a funny thing happened. Okay, so there I was, you know, trying. Well, first of all, I had to figure out like a new career because there was no way I was going to be a therapist. Like, can you imagine like somebody walking into my office and I'm a total hot mess? Like, you think you have it bad? Let me go on the couch and talk about my problems. Like, it was not. Yeah. So I had to just do a lot of soul searching, and then I lost a lot of weight. So I had to get like a new wardrobe, and it was weird because as I got a new wardrobe and I incorporated more color into my wardrobe, like other than black and beige, it's like, oh my God, like people are noticing me. And I didn't even know what to, I'm like, wait a second. As people are reinforcing me, I'm feeling better about myself. So the symbiotic kind of relationship between the outer and the inner, I started really understanding, you know? And then I watched that show, What Not to Wear. I keep plugging it because I was like, I want to do that. Those people are happy. I want to make people happy. And because I was starting to feel happy. Uh-huh. And so that was kind of the beginning. And then, Jen, you and I were talking about this, having like good set of single girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like I had all mommy friends who were married.
Yeah.
I'm like, how am I supposed to go out with them and be sexy? And like, they didn't even know what to do. So they were not good role models. So I always tell people, get a good set of single girlfriends. So I'll never forget. Laura, if you're listening, she was my first good single gal friend. And I was introduced to her because what happens when you're divorced is like, oh, I have a friend for you.
Yeah.
And you get set up with friends instead of men.
Right. Or the men that get set up to you is that it's just somebody who's single. It's not even necessarily somebody who's good for you.
Right,
like, oh,
exactly.
I know somebody else single.
Yeah.
To put you all together.
Right, we're this one category, right?
Everybody wants to be matchmaker.
Right, where it's like we're on an island, like we have a disease. Anyway, so Laura walked into my life, and I'll never forget the phone rang, and I picked it up, and she said, Kim, hi, this is Laura. And I said, hi, Laura, this is Kim. And I just burst out into tears.
Whoa.
Because I don't think I realized how much pain I was in, right? Like feeling so alone in this kind of pool of married people and, you know. And so she's like, come on, I'm going to take you out. I'm like, wow. So I ventured out, like we were talking about before, from the valley to the city, right? The big city of Santa Monica. And I was like, oh my God, there's like flashing lights at 10 o'clock. And,
there's actually life out there.
Yeah,
right?
There's life. There's like not crickets. And so I ventured out and I saw, first of all, what she was wearing, and I'm still in my black clothes and oversized. I wasn't feeling sexy yet. Like, that was, I think, the biggest thing is I wasn't feeling sexy, therefore I was not. And so, but boy, was she. I mean, she walked into the room. She had the tight jeans on and the heels, and she had long blonde hair, and boy, she was, like, working it. You know, she had the body language, and I'm like, watching her like a nerd, you know, taking notes. And like, oh, my God, I can't believe how powerful this is.
So women have to have game, too, not just guys, right?
Yes, even more so than sometimes. Well, what I tell women is, like, we're responsible for putting our cab light on, right?
Right, like, that's true. I'm available.
Right. I mean, it's hard for guys to approach us, right?
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, and I don't think women realize that. Like, it's, you know, so...
Yeah, and it's gotten harder, you know, because...
Yeah.
And, you know, we've discussed this also about this town. There's such a big selection of people. There's so many people that I think people don't try hard enough to make things work.
Right.
They just go...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like not working out. Okay, I'll go to the next one.
Yeah. It's the next, like, what's next
generation
and feeling, right? Like, and it's highly disposable too, right? So it's like if something... little bit doesn't work out. What's next?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And technology is also responsible for that.
I blame Tinder.
Yeah.
Well, this was happening before Tinder, but yes, Tinder is.
But now, like, you go on a date, a Tinder date, let's say, you go home and you just start swiping again.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, this one may not work out. I needed, like, to hoard my options. So, right. I was talking with a girlfriend the other day, and I was like, I have 51 matches. Out of all of these matches, not one of these people is my boyfriend.
How did you know that, though?
It tells you. Like, there's a number. Like, I can show it to you. It says, like, 51 right. matches, and it lists all of them. Okay. She's like, okay, well, I've got you beat. I've got 68. Not one of these guys is my boyfriend either. I'm like, out of all these people, how is that even possible?
Right?
Well, also, I'm kind of weird about the whole process, so I don't even want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And we'll match, and they won't write you. It's like, I just know you're there, and you like me in my face, and I like your face, and you do not want to talk to me.
Okay, so I'm fascinated. So how come you're on it, then?
Because I know that I have the friends I have, I know all their friends, and none of them are setting me up with anybody else because there aren't anybody else to like be set up with in our circle. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not going to meet people at this radio show, let's say, because this is where I am, and then I'm at the gym or I'm with my friends, where the hell am I going to meet people?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but what about like a full-on dating site, no?
Oh, I can't. We need a dating assistant for that. Because between all the messages I used to get, I was on JDate for like a minute. And the amount of time you have to spend responding to people and dealing with all of the things that go on there, I would get like hate mail.
Wow.
Like, why didn't you write me back? What's wrong with you? You're rude. You're one of those girls. I'm like, whoa. You have just labeled me so many things, and it's really just because I don't have time.
Right. Mm-hmm. You see, and that's the thing, and guys deal with different things because, like, a guy will go and send out, like, 50 emails and not get any response, but that's because the women that get the email have 50 or 100 to
right.
answer
let's to. Maybe not do scorched earth right. effect, so and let's... Yeah, so how do you really want to know?
Yeah, so how do you possibly connect, you know? And I imagine the more attractive women get more, you know, more attention, more emails, and everybody's after the same women, and they don't know who to choose because they have thousands of suitors and stuff, you know? So what happens? So I see what you mean about the dating sites.
Yeah, so for me, Tinder is just a lot, like, quicker and easier to... Right. like sort through, and you either swipe or you don't, and then right. there's not like full-blown emails with 27 questions and like likes, pokes, winks, charms. Like, I don't know, now these sites offer so many opportunities for communicating with people. It's like, why do you have to have, I think, like match.com, I checked that out for a minute too to please my mother, but it was like you could poke somebody, like somebody, charm somebody, wink at somebody, ask them a question, send them an email. I was like, I don't even know what. Too much. Yeah,
too much stuff.
So I shut down because I'm like, I'm never going to do all this.
Right. Wow.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Kim, like another
what
do you job.
Think? It is work. And, you know, and here's the thing. And I feel like nowadays we really have to be proactive and creating almost a dating portfolio for ourselves. And it's much like I compare it to a financial portfolio.
Right.
You know, the more you diversify, the greater chances you'll have, right? So you can't just do online dating. You can't just rely on your friends to set you up.
Yeah.
You have to really put yourself out there, especially here in LA,
because
we're not a walking town where we're just, you know,
right,
and I find
people.
That cities who are more walking, like Chicago, New York, it's a different kind of community.
Yeah.
So we really have to like drive to a destination that we're going to make things happen. But what happens is exactly what you said, Jen. People shut down because it's just gets to be too much.
Yeah.
So you really have to, you have to exercise the dating muscle.
47. See, I unmatched a few, but 47.
47.
Wow.
But then you don't really do anything with it.
I talk to some.
Yeah, and then what happens?
I've gone out with a couple.
Do you ever send the first message?
No.
No, you see?
Right.
That's the thing. That's why it's so hard for men, because women don't even show any interest or anything. How are you supposed to know?
Well, my interest was I swiped right on you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have conflicted theories about that, and I'm sorry I totally interrupted what you were saying.
No, it's fine. We're all talking about the same things, you know. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that if you're just swiping, I mean... What does that mean? I like the way you look for a second, you know, I mean, what is that? You know, it's not a way to match with people. I got to tell you, you know, I mean, I got like a few matches or something. So then with this woman I started writing to, we were writing back and forth and stuff. And then I go, you know, so after like quite a few messages back, just kind of getting to know each other, I said, well, can you send me a picture? And she said, why? And I said, well, you know what? If you don't want to, don't send it. And I said, because you have a black and white picture that's not very clear. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what you look like. She made me feel like shit about asking. Mm. And I thought, what the hell? You know, how is she ever going to date anybody if she makes a big deal out of a picture? You know, what's going to happen when I date you and I want to have sex with you? It's like everything's going to be like hard. You know, everything's going to be difficult with you. What do you think?
See, I mean, here, okay, tell here's me something the thing. Oh, about gosh, that. Don't get me started with this whole thing. Okay. Because I'm an image consultant as well, you know, looking at the visual aspect and the first impressions. I tell men and women, I hear this from women a lot, you know, if a man doesn't like me for me, then, you know, right. Awesome. And it's like, well, look, honey.
Yeah.
If you don't market yourself and put yourself out there in a way that is attractive to a man to get to know you, it's right. Never going to happen. So it's right. Like, it's really, it's about packaging. And here's the thing. I believe that both men and women are visual. We're both, I mean, we're visual too, but we look at different right. Things. Here's the difference.
I mean, look at Tinder. Tinder is totally visual. You don't even swipe on something other than the way they look.
It is, but here's the difference. Okay, so men will look at a woman and with the first couple seconds, they determine whether or not they want to have sex with her. I mean, it's just, you know, this is in the animal kingdom. Like, well, I'm not making up anything that's new here. Women, now we're a little more forgiving. We'll look at a guy. I mean, he has to be attractive, but if he's dressed well and he looks successful, we'll give him a chance. So men look at sex, women look at success. Yeah, that's the difference I see.
Right.
But we're both visual, and so we need to both, like, come to terms.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is this, and she wrote something like, you know, if you're just interested in the way I look and whatever, it's like, no, I'm not interested just in that, but it's important. You know, I want to know who I'm talking
to. Absolutely.
You know, and the thing is that, and then you realize why she's not sending you a picture and why she has a black and white blurry picture, because she probably doesn't want people to see what she looks like. So I thought,
right.
You know,
and that's what guys think, that you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, why would you think twice? And especially when you communicate with a lot of women and each one will send you a picture when you ask for it.
Right.
Then when one tells you not to, it's like, bye, you know. Let me move on to the next one. So that was it, you know.
Right. You know what's fascinating? This is just like research. It only takes 30 seconds to make a first impression. That's why I'm really big on just how you present yourself.
Right.
And people make judgments and assumptions based on two things and two things only. The attire that you're wearing and your attitude. That's it. So it's not even what you're saying that's as important as how you're presenting.
Wow.
So if you can get past that first impression and just, you know, really take care of yourself and put yourself out there in a fun, flirty, sexy way, that's half the battle.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, well, you know, just personally and from talking to men and stuff, and you asked me about, you know, women and stuff, it's hard for women to approach, I mean, for men to approach women today, because there's so many things that could be going on there. You know, she could be attached, you know, she could be you know, looking for something totally different. Maybe she's just not looking for anybody. Maybe she's a lesbian. You know, you never know. And it happens.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. Not anything wrong, but she's not going to date me.
Right,
it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. You know, it's like you don't know. And maybe I don't know how to pick up signals. I don't know. Maybe that's why we have you here.
It's both, you know? Actually. And this is why I just want to plug the Great Love Debate for a second.
Yes, which is where we met.
Yes.
And we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
So let me just sort of summarize that.
Sure.
I went to the Great Love Debate last weekend, and that's after we had a couple people from the debate on the show here, and they'd been here last year also. And this is something that goes from town to town, right? From city to city.
From city to city, where you
So
have,
tell us what they do there.
Yeah, well, and it kind of relates to what you're saying, is that, you know, it's kind of the old city town, you know, setting where you have the men on one side and the women on the other, and we debate about love and relationships and dating and all these things, and we have a panel of experts.
Right.
And Brian Howie is the producer, and it's just brilliant. And one of the things actually Brian says a lot is that, and we see this from city to city, is that women are getting harder to approach, and then women are getting upset that men aren't approaching. So we got a problem here, right?
Yeah.
Like it's almost an epidemic. And guess what? It's not just in a particularly like specific hometown, right? Because everyone thinks their own city is the worst today, right?
Yeah,
like, that's what I hear all the time. Yeah. It's like, oh no, LA's the worst. Then we go to Seattle. Oh, yeah. Seattle's the worst. You know, it's like, what I think is really what's happening is that dating's tough.
It is.
And never before in any generation before us has there been so many singles after 40 as well.
Really?
So people are just like floundering, like not knowing what to do. And then with technology, it's just getting confusing. And our roles are also merging.
Yeah.
So as women are getting stronger, men are losing kind of their role, right? Like, it's like, but we want to provide and protect you. And women are saying, no, I got it. I'm strong, you know? And and so.
But then deep inside, most women do want to be taken care of, wouldn't you say?
100%.
Right.
Even the strongest women, and I've dated some, or dated. I have coached some celebrities, like really strong, strong women who are in the workforce. And they all tell me the same thing. It's like, Kim, I just want to, like, I just want to quit. I just, I would love to be cherished and loved by, and taken care of by a man.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's essentially what it is, you know? I mean, I think you talked about the animal world. It's the same thing, you know?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The male provides, the female takes care of the family, builds the family, keeps it together. And that's what we're accustomed to. And today we've changed all these roles, and nobody knows what they're supposed to do anymore.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah, and it's just like, you know, so then you try and be a little more sensitive and things like that. So then they're like, oh, well, he's too soft, you know, he's too this. So it's like, you don't know what to do anymore, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's what I'm really finding, you know, with at all these shows, it's the same issues that come up.
Really?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what city or anything,
doesn't matter. I mean, same each society. Town has some of their own unique challenges, but I'm saying overall, it's the same kind of core issues.
Right. But definitely there were some interesting things said there by Brian, you know, and I take what he says seriously because he's been to so many of them.
Yeah.
And he hears people talk about this stuff all the time. So it's easy to say, well, this is the prevailing attitude or something, you know. So he talked about some important things, you know, and I definitely recommend for those of you, what's the, do you remember their website? The
GreatLoveDebate.com.
GreatLoveDebate.com. Mm-hmm. Go there and see if the show's coming to your city and definitely go. You know, I mean, it's a good opportunity to meet other singles. And I was actually fixed up on stage.
Yes, you were. And I'm dying to know what happened. Can we please talk about that?
Yes, please.
Because there was some intervention even behind the scenes on my part. So
really?
We haven't even talked about this.
It didn't even work. It didn't work.
Okay, so what
any
happened?
Any intervention work. Okay, so let me just describe what happened there. So they selected me. I was flattered that they did, you know, to be the bachelor on the stage. So it was modeled after the old dating game where the bachelor sits and he doesn't see the other three contestants, mm-hmm. and you have to, and you ask him questions and stuff. So I allowed the panel. Kim was on the panel. There were three more people, and I let them ask the questions for me. So because that was an option. So you guys did. I didn't even pay attention to half of the answers because the speaker of the microphone was so far from me that it seemed like they were in another world. And I was with my back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't really decide. So I started, I'm going to go based on the voice.
Oh, wait. So you didn't even go off the answers.
I did not go off the answers because I didn't know who belonged to whom. I didn't know who was saying what. You know, it wasn't like, look, if I asked a question and I said, okay, bachelorette number two. Or bachelorette number three. In my mind, I would keep it all together. But here, it wasn't really, I mean, they introduced by names, but I didn't know who was who, you know, who was sitting at which position or anything. So I felt lost. And I thought, I got to hang on to something here. But no, it was truly because one microphone was very close and Brian's microphone was like very far. So I felt like I wasn't even hearing half the things. I was also concerned about, you know, you're on stage, you know, people are watching you and stuff. You know, you got to keep up the appearance and everything. So I just wasn't paying attention at all. Mm. I really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I picked one based on her voice. And she was pretty cute, but they picked somebody else for me. So at first, which was also very cute and pretty. And so, you know, we're just on the stage and you're like, okay, what do I do now? You know, So Brian gives me two tickets for a movie. You know, he goes, go see 50 Shades. I said, great, you know. So
nice first date, right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So then after that, they had a bachelorette section and all that. I thought that went better, you know, because she was paying attention to what's going on. And she asked the questions. She prepared. I didn't have time to prepare. You guys just told me, okay, you're the bachelor. And I didn't know what to ask, you know. So I thought I'd let
you
guys
ask.
But we
figured you have a radio show. You could do that.
Yeah, you know. That's true. Yeah, that's true. But I wasn't prepared for that at all, you know. So so after that, you know, we just went, sat back, the debate continued, whatever, the game continued. And then I just kind of scanned the room and I didn't see her. And I thought, well, she probably left, you know, she probably doesn't want to deal with this or something. So I just kept on mingling with other people and stuff. And then I figured, well, you know, people are leaving, I'm just going to go. And Kim says, you know, wait a minute, you know, let's connect you, let's exchange numbers with you and the girl. So so we did, you know, so she was there. I just didn't see her. So,
which, by the way, like, if I could just pause, that happens too in real life, like, you know, where people kind of cross ships and one's assuming one thing and one's assuming another. And, and the connections never happen.
I know. You know, and that's the thing. So one person has to make a move.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But I was going to, you know, but I couldn't see her. And I thought, you know, I mean, there's somebody that kind of looked like her because I didn't really see. I mean, it just all happened so fast. Okay, Sam, this is the one we picked for you, and blah, 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 and all this. I gave each one a hug, and that was it, you know? I mean, I didn't really know what was going on, really. So so we exchanged phone numbers and everything, thanks to Kim. And so then the texting started. I texted her, didn't get any answer.
Okay,
then
why didn't you call her?
Do you want me to read you all the texts?
I do.
Really? No, because I
or
mean,
just
it was
like what? What did you say?
It was small talk. It was small talk in the beginning. Did you have fun? You know, all that stuff.
No, but
where
this
do you
is
live?
Important.
Where do you live? Why?
Was there any? Okay, so this is really important because there's an art to texting also.
Okay.
And also a little bit of what Jen said. You know,
well, I have something to say to you about the texting because I totally wrote somebody off because of what they wrote me.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me pull this out. And
okay.
I'll tell
also, why didn't you call her?
Because I think at first you should text just to get a feeler for it, because I wasn't sure. Look, let me tell you this. Okay, first of all, I think there was an age difference there, and I was self-conscious about it.
Okay, so and you were self-conscious.
I was self-conscious about it, and I thought there's no way she's going to be interested in me. Because she
okay,
looked like
so,
in her 30s or something.
Right,
you
but
know?
Already you're already
right.
self-sabotaging.
Exactly, exactly.
Or, right.
I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't make it come across. I mean, I sent the text. And I wrote usually, you know, like just to find out about her. Where do you live? You know, what do you do? Not even what do you do. I don't even think so. Just did you enjoy the show? You know, there wasn't even a lot of texting. Okay, really, there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally wrote to her and I said, look, I said, I know we were sort of fixed up. And you didn't have a say-so in it. And I just want to make sure you're interested in pursuing this, because otherwise, it's just a waste of time for both of us. Never got a response from that. So now tell me what was wrong with that one.
Okay. Well, do you want to comment on just a woman kind of...
Well, it sort of makes you sound insecure about it in that. And also, it's like a little bit too abrasive, I feel like. I would be like, whoa.
Yes.
Really?
Like, why are you... That's already too much. Stop
right.
It.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, is it too much to ask if you're interested in pursuing this?
Well, I think
you're interested at all, because if you're not, why am I going to waste your time? You know, it's going to be painful. To
but was she texting back and forth with you before that comment?
Yeah.
So then she was interested.
Mm-hmm. And behind the scenes, she told me she was interested. So
really?
The fact that you already had it in your mind, oh,
she's not interested.
I'm too old for her. You already
what?
Carried
but
that
I didn't,
with you.
But I didn't say that.
No, her. But your texting indicated that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And, see, Jen's even saying it.
Wow.
First of all, just to start out with kind of plain questions like, hi, how was your day? Where do you work? Did you enjoy the show?
Right.
Those are like kind of like Q&A. Like there's nothing kind of
but
engaging about that.
But isn't
before
small
even
talk
knowing
to
her.
Engage, though? I mean, it's small talk. What are you going to ask her?
But
you know?
You hadn't connected with her as a person yet. So
right.
To do that on a text before even connecting on the phone is
right.
a disconnect.
So let's say... I mean, would you have called first, or do you think
so? Here's
texting
the thing:
in the beginning?
We are busy. I would do almost a combination of the two. Hey, it was great meeting you at the show. I'd love to give you a call. When would be a good time to call? That's a thing that a lot of people are doing nowadays, just because, you know, it's and so then you set up a call and then, right. and then call and chat and then quickly set up the date. Don't spend a lot of time on the phone.
Right.
But just meet.
Mm.
Just yeah. meet. Yeah. Like, I wish she was here because it would have been really interesting to hear.
To hear the other side.
Yeah. Because when I was doing matchmaking, that's what I would hear. I mean, that was the thing about matchmaking that's kind of cool is you hear both sides of the story. And sometimes I'm like, wait, were you guys both on the same date? Like, two different.
That's true. Yeah.
So.
You see, and here I thought I was doing the right thing because I was kind of letting her off the hook so she doesn't feel like, look, I mean, I'll tell you why. Because I'll tell you why I thought she was. Even though she texted that she wasn't interested, I thought she was sort of like just doing what, maybe to seem nice, you know, and maybe to be fair to you because you fixed us up or whatever, and she knows you.
But you're assuming that.
I know, because I didn't have any signals from her. You know, that's what I'm saying. And from the first text, there wasn't like one question. For me, it was only me asking her. So I didn't see any interest.
Right. And this is where women have responsibility in helping with that. Right. Like, and I tell women that all the time. It's not just the guy. The guy's already nervous. And then when you don't give them anything, they get scared and they either like eject.
Right.
Or they say something that's like off-putting because they don't know what to do.
That's what happened to me the other day. Yeah. So I went out twice with a guy that I met on Tinder, and then we had a great like two dates. Then we didn't have anything planned for a third date, but we were texting every couple of days during the week. Mm-hmm. And I sort of gauged less interest from him because he was texting more infrequently.
Too much.
Oh. And like, I had written him first a couple times, and I was fine with that. Like, you know, he's putting forth effort. I'm putting forth effort. But then he wrote me on, like, Thursday night last week, and he was like, what are you up to? So I said what I was doing, and he's like, fun. And I'm like, what are you doing? So he tells me he's writing and staying home and got it. He's on a deadline, and I was like, cool. But he, like, got so Debbie Downer about the whole thing. He's like, well, it's this or go back to law school. And I was like,
wah, wah.
Wah, wah. You haven't asked me for a date. You're not engaging in any way. You clearly are miserable in whatever it is you're doing. And I stopped responding because I was like, you're already just annoying.
Yeah. See, that's interesting, too, is that there's been a lot of studies about, like, negativity in interactions, especially upon first impressions, is that, you like, 90% of the conversation could be positive, and there could be that one thing, that 10% that's kind of negative like that, and you'll remember the negative and just be like, oh God, not for me.
Yeah. Well, and I would have seen past it if I knew, like, okay, this is
if there was history.
Right. Or if he said, like, I'm having a really busy week. It's pitch week for writers, so we have to submit all the stuff. I've been, like, under the gun, but I would love to see you this weekend.
Right. You need to do that.
Right. If there were a plan set, I would be like, complain all you want. Like, I get it. You're having a rough week, and I'm going to be more understanding of that.
Right.
And then we'll have a fun weekend or something. But there was just nothing set up, and I was like, okay, bye.
Wow.
Right.
Listen, we're running out of time, but I got to tell you, this show probably went the fastest in the 7 years, 7 years that I've been doing this show. So it means you're fascinating, and it means we have to invite you back.
Oh, you want me back?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, my God, I'm getting the second date. I'm so excited.
I mean, the thing is, there's so much more to talk about. I mean, you do so many different things. I wanted to talk about the makeovers that I saw on your website and stuff. It's amazing what you can do to a person, you know. And I want to talk about this, but everybody check out Kimberly's website. It's called EliteImageMakeovers.com, and it's Kimberly Seltzer. You'll find out everything about her and what she can do. An image expert, consultant, therapist, dating coach, matchmaker, speaker, presenter, and a beautiful mother also.
Aww,
right? How old are your kids now?
They're 11, and my older one just turned 13.
Wow.
Two boys, middle school. God.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. Give your hands full.
It's the Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. But you look like you've emerged with it scatheless, so that's good. You know?
Oh, God. I know, but I haven't gotten past it yet. I still
That's true, yeah.
We are probably making them gentlemen, though.
I'm trying. I really am.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody, check out Kimberly's website. She is a matchmaker, and maybe we'll utilize your your skills as well as far as matchmaking goes.
Set us up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I will say I don't really do matchmaking anymore, but I know a lot of people in the community who do, amazing matchmakers. I really more am about helping people find love on their own,
right,
and right. having them be a better self. And so, right. yeah, if you go to my website too, and you, I got free gifts for people, and it's right. A free body type booklet for women so they know their body type. And eventually I have a men's fashion manifesto for men, because men secretly do want to know about fashion. They right. just don't sit around and talk about it on a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
So,
but it's also the age. You know, I mean, I can tell you, when I was in my 20s and 30s, it was GQ all the way, you know?
Yeah, GQ.
Yeah, you know, and I would really get a lot of inspiration from the stuff there. So, yeah, definitely. But I think at any age, you got to take, take
you
care
do.
Of yourself.
You just have to care.
You do.
No,
and
you
women,
do.
We that, love a guy who's well-dressed.
Right. right.
It's awesome. And yeah. Do you believe, and this is also, I'm all about statistics, 55% of your dating success can be increased just by white
wow.
hair. I
wow.
mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. yeah. But definitely, I think people could use your services.
Thank you. Yeah.
Obviously, me too, because I just killed an opportunity, and I didn't even realize I did.
Sam, I think you we know? Should go out. Yeah, I'll be your wing woman.
You'll be my wing woman?
I will.
Amazing.
Okay, sounds good.
And then we'll talk about it.
And then we'll talk
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine a more pleasant thing to do. So, yeah, definitely.
Aww.
Anyway, Kimberly, thank you again. And I'm definitely going to ask you to come back, and hopefully you will.
I absolutely
okay,
will.
Okay, so we
Yay.
Can promote you even more and talk about all the other things that you do and stuff. So it's just amazing. And of course, everybody go to the greatlovedebate.com and you can check out these things. And so you travel with the show now, right?
I
so
do.
People will get a chance to meet you as well.
Yes, yes. I'm city. Actually now the co-host, the leading love expert, I guess is my title.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so I'm super excited to be doing this with Brian. And we are going to Seattle next week for our first round.
Awesome.
Yeah,
wow,
fun.
Seattle is nice. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jen, as always.
Thank you.
For making it a pleasant show. And that's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.